Hello and welcome to Alchemy 101, the show that aims to mine a few nuggets that can support us in transforming our well-being, our lives, as we choose to live in line with nature in a way that's true to our nature, even though it might at first seem a bit counterintuitive, like a nightingale, a bird that sings out in the dark. I'm JJ, the Practical Alchemist, and it is lovely to be with you today. I trust you're doing well. If you're not, hopefully we can offer some support. Maybe my guest today will have some answers for you. She's Marcia Tekau, a wonderful medium, a teacher of healing and clairvoyance, a writer and a speaker. Any listeners in Denmark will know Marcia from her TV show, The Spirit's Return, as well as her radio appearances. And now she's written an excellent book called Your Soul, Your Life, A Guide to Healing and Self-Healing. Now, I love hearing from people who have a broad background of training and knowledge, which is Marcia to a T, because she isn't just a medium and TV presenter. She has qualifications in science and somatic and energy healing. Part of her master's degree thesis at the University of Copenhagen was a study of plants and healing. And later, she worked as a research assistant at the University of Southern Denmark on a study of energy healing effects on cancer survivors. Marcia is always keen to emphasise the relationship between natural sciences and the spiritual world. That's when she's talking about healing and human development and spiritual practice. So when I caught up with her recently, I had to ask her where all this began.
It's actually started that I'm a quite sensitive person. So as a child, I experienced a lot of the feeling of knowing what people were feeling, and this discomfort by knowing that something wasn't right when they're saying they were okay, and I was sure that they weren't okay. And also a very strong connection with animals. It's like animals were really my best friends. So I had much more ease with being in contact with them. And in that part, I developed this deeper contact with, what can you call it, the feeling of the soul of people, or the essence of people and the essence of animal and everything alive. So I have this feeling of that contact with everything when I was a youngster and a child. And then when I started to, I had what would be like high school, I ended that, and my biggest wish was to go to Iceland to because I've been riding Icelandic horses for the most of my teens and teenage years. So it was like, oh, going up there and ride the Icelandic horses, and I had a friend up there working on a farm. So I went up there, and at that time I was 18 years old, and I was only away, I think, 3 weeks or so was the holiday. And the last week I wake up with a nightmare where I had a really strong dream that the sheep that I had Icelandic sheeps at home, that my the sheep that I had, she was dying. So in this dream, I was seeing that my sheep was dying, but my grandfather was arriving in the dream as well, totally blue in his head and couldn't breathe. And he said, oh, sorry, Marcia, but Zigzagsine, my sheep, she was called that, she's dying. And I was saying, okay, calm down, grandfather. It's okay, it's her time. It's not your time now. So in that dream, I got this feeling of, okay, it's her time, it's not your time. But when I woke up like really afraid, because I had a really close relationship with her. And I got down to a shop and bought a postcard, right, with a, you know, with a really big male sheep on it. And then I was writing to my parents, because the sheep was by my parents' house, and said, Zigzagsine, you know, keep in there, I'm being home in a week, just, you know. And then of course everything is going good in Iceland.
Yeah,
and
having I'm a lovely time, yeah.
Yes, like that. And actually when my parents were driving down the a little hill to the postcard, to the post box. They took out the postcard and they were picking me up in the airport at the same time. But what was amazing, or I don't know if it was amazing, was that they have just buried Zigzagsine. So she
Oh.
was sick, she was dying. I didn't know, she wasn't sick when I was leaving, but I knew that she was dying. I got a pre-warning about that a week before she was dying.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And that was one of two really extreme dreams about death I had. For me, it was extreme because my animals were my best friends. So that was when I was 18, and I had one again with a mare I was going to call. She was 4 years old, and I was going to ride her when I was going back from a trip to Asia, Australia. I was still, now I was 19 and I was traveling the world. And then again in a bus, I had this dream, like a daydream, where I saw that she was lying on the field dead. And I was like, okay, now I will not. I didn't dare to phone my parents for 5 weeks, because last time I had a dream like that, my sheep was dying. And now the little, I had a, it was, she was my first foal. So, it's like I had her since she has been quite, so much love and so much expectation. And okay, I phoned home and she was dead as well. And I had those two really strong dreams that somehow pointed me in a direction that I could sense more than normal people, and I couldn't understand, and I was very afraid of it. And I was also very afraid of seeing dead people. So when I was in my when I was in my start of my 20s, it was like every farmer girl, because I was out in the farm on the countryside, goes into the country, no, sorry, into the city and study. So I was going into the city to study, and I was in a house, an old house, where there was a lot of dead women, because it had been a home for elderly single widows. And they have had a really great time, and they were not thinking about leaving that building because all their friends were there. So it's like, oh, I was so afraid. And in that, I started to connect with what I call now the pillar of light. I connected with, in Denmark, we have a song that we sing in church called the light of the angel, or the angel of light, actually more like that. I was like talking, singing, nearly singing to myself this song, and sensed the presence of a very big white angel coming down, standing behind me, and somehow lighting up my path, and trying to, in that way, I felt safe. So I started to use that contact in that house, because there was so much spirit activities, and I was like, it's not happening, it's not happening, it's not happening. I was so afraid. So I used the contact to the angel actually first. And then a couple of years later, I took a Reiki one. And because mostly because I was feeling safe with the healing energy, because normally healing, no dead persons, only healing and love. That's safe. So for me, it was like, I take that one because the other things I will not touch. But the thing is, with Reiki, I guess you have Reiki as well yourself. And when you get your Reiki one, it helps you to open up your potential for everything. Not for me, it was, of course, my spiritual gift, but now I also have healing students myself, and Reiki helps people to find the inner core of their potential and start to grow from there. And it helps them also to ground. And for me, the grounding and opening up for my skills was hello to the spirit world very much, because it was one of my birthrights. So in that way, I started to heal, and I was, when I was giving healing, I could sense the soul, the light in my client, and I could sense that the light or the soul in my client started to expand, and I could sense the presence of spirit around the healing. And in that way, I started to feel safe with the contact with the spirit because I could see that they actually were helping my client. And I was only like, normally, also in my book, I call this like the healer is only holding the space for a dinner party. Not like the
Exactly.
ghost. It's like we're just holding the space for the love exchange between the spirit world and the client. And the readiness in the client actually decides how much healing the client gets. But the healer is only a channel. The healing starts with the healing energy and the client. And that way, when I was standing there in my mid-20s and looking at that, sensing that, being a part of that, a team, I was the only physical one in that team, but the other one was the one working. I was just holding the space. And in that way, I started to be more and more secure with being in contact with the spirit world and the healing. And then in my late 20s, I was falling in love and my heart was opening up even more. And then the spirit world was really intense. And then the dead people was really intense again. And I was talking to my partner about all the things I was experiencing. And also, I described a loved one, a dead loved one, to my partner. And I was so afraid of that, but I did it. And she could recognize that man. And that was the first really contact I have had with a spirit from the other side.
Wow.
And he was giving some message to her, and I was like, okay, this is real. It's real. I cannot longer, park it somewhere and say it's not real. It's not real. It's just a part of my imagination. It was too strong for me that at that time. So I went to a school to train my skills, my psychic abilities,
Yeah.
actually. So I could, now I can. The best thing I learned at that school was to close my close my doors to the spirit world and open them. So when I was really working, it's quite open. But
Oh,
when I'm
yeah.
me, it's closed. So I
Yeah.
can be myself and a normal human being instead of sensing a lot of things all the time. I didn't know what I was doing before. I didn't know that a lot of the things I was sensing was other people and also spirit world, and was too much for a little kid, too much for a youngster, too much for a teenager, and too much for a girl in the teenage and 20s as well. So when I started to control my sensory system, I started to really work with spirit world. So I could both be myself and I could also be a very much better channel because I was now we're working. Now I'm home with myself. And that was actually the start. And then, I just love being together with the spirit world. And I love being a channel for all the love and the healing and the enlightenment that the spirit world brings to human and humanity. It's like, I couldn't dream of a better job, actually.
Oh gosh, well, that's beautiful. And thank you so much for sharing all of that. There's so much in there and so much that I identify with as well, in that, I was always very sensitive also as a child and always saw things, heard things, felt things that nobody else could. And have also lived in houses which were full of dead people. But I was always an intuitive healer, if you like, an energy worker, and I also had a very close bond with animals. And in fact, my mother used to say, animals and children, they all that she just attracts them like nothing on earth. It's just I'm always amongst them. They always come up to me. But the Reiki, well, I started learning Reiki to work to kind of un learn more about what I could do intuitively. And then realized that what I do intuitively isn't Reiki. So, but it was a good, it was a good education in many ways. And I remember saying I did had my master attunement, and I've had about three master attunements in different forms of Reiki now, and I've done other healing modalities as well that are like Reiki, a bit like Reiki. And I remember my my Reiki master saying to me, when I said, well, you know, no, I don't think I'm going to do any more. And she said, no, well, it'll have done what it needs to do to you anyway. You know, you'll have got what you need from it. And it is that, you know, not everybody who trains in something like that does it to become a healer, in quotes. I'm doing air quotes here. But often it helps you heal.
It's not often, it's really, it's always doing
Yeah.
that,
All
because
right. Well corrected there.
it's always. So I'm quite agreeing with you in that way. I use my Reiki intuitively. So of course there is the hand positions, but I don't use them. I use the intuition to follow the energy healing. And because I do that, I can also use it very much with ancestor healing, epigenetic healing, inner child healing. I use it with angel healing. So when I now I have my own healing education, and Reiki is only one little keystone in that. Then I have the angel healing. Then I have spiritual healing. I also went to Arthur Findlay College to have been trained in the trance medium, trance healing, and spiritual healing as well. So I use that, and then I have some. That's my ground healing education for my students, and then I have the epigenetic and the inner child healing as master classes, and I really love this cooperation with the spirit world. And actually, the healing, because Reiki was my first, I used that as a startup. It's like I sense it like a wire when you put it into. Oh, I can't remember the name. You know, when you put a wire into, you know, it's.
You mean a conductor for electricity or for
Yes,
energy?
yes,
Yes,
yes, yes, yes. It's like, and then I just need to hold it there, and then it works. And then the angel can come in, and then the ancestors can come in, and then, you know, also other dimensions, like from nature dimensions, like it could be, dragons and elves and everything. It's like, for me, it's just the start, and then it's just have unfold an unbelievable amount of possibilities for the healing work to help my client. And that's how I do it.
Which is just beautiful. I love the way Marcia describes her work here. Well, there's much more to come, but first it's time to open ourselves up to taking a short break. We'll be back after these messages from our station sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
You're listening to Alchemy 101 with me, JJ, the practical alchemist, and my guest today, Marcia Tekau, a medium, healer, and so much more. Before the break, Marcia was telling us how she works and also the story of how she developed her innate gifts. Her book is called Your Soul, Your Life, A Guide to Healing and Self-Healing, and I wanted to explore that some more, particularly the self-healing piece. I describe my own practice as creating the energetic space where people can self-heal, but I find so many people find it very difficult to embrace the concept and the practice of self-healing. Hopefully this book will help to change that. Here's Marcia again.
My wish with the book, or rather the book's wish, because I was just, the book has been pushing me for 3 years before I was able to sit down and make it. And then it was in Danish first, and then it came in English now, so it's out everywhere. But the purpose is actually to understand that you can heal yourself. You don't need a healer, but you can learn how to connect with the spirit world or with the divine. Or again, what I call the pillar of light is, which actually a dimension. When you are going, we have this described. When people have a near-death experience, they talk about entering a space that is safe, that is calm, full light there.
Yeah.
Maybe there will be contact with spirit. That could be dead ones, that could be angels, it could be Jesus, depending on really the contact. And for me, it's like when I guide this contact with the pillar of light, you come in contact with that space, that dimension where the healing energy and the spirit world is. And the reason I use like a pillar of light is the description of a tunnel of light. When you die, you go through a tunnel and you enter the light. But for me, it's like the light is there it's there every time, not only when we die, not only when we are born, it's there every second of our life.
Yeah.
So it's us that's not in contact with that. It's not that it's not in contact with us. So when you train to be in contact with that dimension, it's the same dimension where your soul comes from. So in that part, when you're in contact with your soul, you have much easier contact access to this dimension where the healing energy and the spirit world is. So in a healing process, a self-healing process, you can sit down, just breathe, relax, and start to connect with your inner core or your inner light or your inner being. And that part of you will be in direct contact all the time with the divine and this tunnel of light. So what I do in the book is I have a lot of self-healing meditations that you can, I have some for free, which you can go into my homepage, marcia.com, and start to practice the pillar of light or the self-healing with your guardian angels, or letting go of others' energy that have interfered with your system in during the day. A lot of those healing meditations, which are for free, I have used myself to start to heal and be a better in better contact with myself. And in that way, when you start to really come in contact with the healing energy and your soul, you can always just sit down in a peaceful meditative state and sense the presence of the healing energy. Because from quite the first thing we start to sense when we are all also when we are in the womb of our mother, that's to sense our environment. So we have a sensory system that always sense the environment that we are connected with. So when you start training to be in contact with the pillar of light or this dimension, you actually train your sensory system to be connected with that healing energy that your soul is connected with. And when your soul and you are connected with this healing energy or the presence of this dimension, the divine dimension, then you start to heal up because your system knows that it's safe. And when you're starting to feel safe, you start to heal up the trauma. You heal up the stress, your arousal will go down, and your parasympathetic nervous system will arise, and you will start to have much better blood circulation throughout your whole body. Your organs will work better, your brain will work better, everything will start to come back into harmony and balance itself. Your mind will, your emotions, and your body will be aligned with your soul. And that's the self-healing. It's quite simple, actually. So you don't need to have a healing course. You just need to be in contact, just a little in contact with your soul, and then you have, like a foot in the door, and it will open very much.
I'm sitting here smiling, listening to you talking about that because I am 100% with you on that. And in fact, I talk about a safe
Yes.
haven healing, and just allowing yourself to be in that space where everything relaxes, you're protected, you're absolutely safe, and your body immediately responds and says, "Oh, okay. Let's sort this out then. Let's deal with this because we can.
Yes, we
Our
can.
bodies can heal themselves." Yeah. No, it's fantastic. It's great to hear you talking about that. And so some of the other things that I mean, you talk about in your book, you talk about thoughts as well as the soul. So, feelings in your body and thoughts, because they're all important as well when it comes to healing, aren't they?
I'm not quite thoughts like beliefs, or
Well,
yeah.
yeah, because for a lot of people, the constant whirring around in your brain.
That one. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
So in normally I work with different planes, like a physical plane, the mental plane, the emotional plane, and the soul plane. It's like, and that's why normally when people talk about minds or your minds, it's like emotions and thoughts are mixed together. For me, it's important that they are not totally mixed together, but that you understand that your emotions is one thing. They affect how you're thinking. Your thoughts are one thing, but they affect how you feel. But you can work with them in different ways, not in different ways, but you have to work with, is this an emotion thing? Then you have to heal the emotions. Is this thoughts? Then you have to heal the thoughts. So what I normally do and what I describe in the book is you have to find out what's actually happening here. Is it problems or trauma or adaptations for environment when you were a kid that's not good for you, that you are just having on repeat? Or is it a trauma from your grown-up life that you have to heal? Because when we start really to have a lot of thoughts, it's mostly because it's not safe or it's not safe to be in the body.
There's a lot of fear.
So when there is something that you haven't digested emotionally or mentally or physically, then there is like, then you can, your mind can run away with you. So normally I say, okay, is this a problem that you have had before? Could it be something from your childhood? Then you have to look at that. Could it be something for your, from your grown-up life? Then you have to look at that. Could it be something that you have inherited from your lineage, from your father's lineage or your mother's lineage? Then you have to look at it epigenetically. Could it be something that you have had from your past lives? Because we have also problems from our past life that are, you know, activated when we are coming back into the physical frame again. And then we have to deal with them. So normally when I have a problem in a client, I try to find out, together with the client, of course, okay, your thoughts are running. Why? When did they start running? Or your emotions are, you're feeling sad or depressed. Okay, is this depression your own? Or have you picked it up from your parents when you were a child? Or have you picked it up from your lineage that have been a pre-coded depression in your genes? Or could it be something else? So in the first part, it's actually also to find out, what's the root for the problem? And then it's much easier to ask for healing in that direction. Plus, it's much easier for you just not to run around, but find out, oh, it's from there. It's not really now. So when you have this feeling of it's not really now, you can start to feel yourself, okay, it's the past, it's not now. And then you can deal with the past. So the healing process is, it's important. And that's also the part of the self-healing. Your soul, your life is also meant as a help for directing yourself into the root of the problem and how you can deal with it. In that way, you can go around both your childhood, your epigenetic healing stuff from your lineage, and you can also just go to it like a normal trauma, because a trauma will create some kind of blockage that will keep you up in your head or keep your emotions in a loop or your thoughts in a loop and stuck in your body. So the soul is nothing like that. The soul is a shining, fluid, living force of energy that's really just wants to live. And when you start to do the healing job and you focus not on your mind, but more on your soul consciousness, then you will start to feel much more connected both with your emotions and your thoughts and your body. Because the thing with the near-death experience is that the soul is out experiencing thing. And when it's time to go back, the body that was clinically dead starts to wake up. That means there are a lot of life force connected with your soul energy. And there's a lot of potential, a lot of resources in your soul. So when you start to connect with that, it will give resources to your mind, to clarity, and also to your emotion. It will start to have, you know, the emotional surplus of energy that will help you to heal and digest difficult emotional stuff. And it will help you to digest difficult emotional or mental stuff and physical stuff. So in that way, you start to heal and you will get much more in contact with this resourcefulness that you have within yourself and empowerment within yourself that you have always access to, but sometimes it's blocked. It could be encapsulated, a trauma could encapsulate your soul, or it could also, like, the soul cannot enter the body because there is trauma. So when you heal up of those stuff, it could be negative beliefs, it could be blocked stuff from trauma, that actually it's when you're not dealing with it, you have problems coming into a deeper contact with your soul and the life energy that is yours.
Fantastic. You hear people talking about soul level healing. I think Marcia just gave an excellent account of what's involved. And it brought to mind a concept that I'd heard of only the other day. But before I get into that, it's time for another break. We'll be back with thoughts on that and more besides in just a few minutes after we've heard from our sponsors. So stay with us.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
And you're listening to Alchemy 101 here on the world's number one and award-winning talk health radio station. I'm JJ, the practical alchemist, and with me today is medium and healer Marcia Tetau. We were talking about the soul and healing before the break, and it brought to mind a concept that I was unaware of before, and I wanted to put that to Marcia and hear what she thought of it. Here's how I explained it. I want to put something to you that I heard the other day, a concept that I hadn't actually heard before. Now, we haven't spoken about this before now, but just as you were talking about soul and body, I saw somebody talking about how we are taught, some of us, that we are a soul inhabiting a body.
Yeah.
But they were positing, they were putting forward that we're actually a body that inhabits a soul. So the body is within the soul rather than the other way around. What do you also, I don't know what I think about that. What do you think about that?
What I think about that is it's a really deep, deep togetherness. So what I feel is that the body needs the soul really to relax, because your soul has an inner deep peaceful place within itself, and it's connected with, as we started with, the divine, that has a very big healing, loving and feeling safe place. So in that way, when your body starts to mirror your soul instead of the surroundings where there's a lot of fear, it can help the body to relax. And when the body starts to mirror, your sensory system starts to mirror your soul, then the soul will actually have access to the whole, you know, your aura, your energy field.
Yeah.
So what I normally talk about here is like soul retrieval. So when we work with healing trauma and the trauma is released, then there is a relaxation in your body that opens up for the soul to enter, and then your sensory system and the body can start to work together with the soul much more. And what's really good about that is then your soul start to radiate out from you. So instead of people are sensing your trauma, I guess in that way, I normally describe it this way. If you have a lot of adaptation to environments that not really suits you, you will start to act in accordance to those inhabits or in that environment. And if you have learned a lot of stuff and if you have a lot of trauma, your personality will actually be in accordance to your traumas and your adaptations. It's not really who you are. It's not your soul. But when you start to make this work, coming into yourself, sensing who you really are and your soul, and start to live out from your soul, then your personality will be your soul and your soul will be your personality. So in that way, for me, it's like it's much more saying yes to you and heal up in the stuff that inhibits the access to yourself. Because what's really, really lovely about this is the life energy, the life force that you get in contact with, and the divine part of you that you get in contact with. Imagine what happens to the earth when that comes in contact with that, because the soul is actually touching ground with your feet. And we need that divine life force to enter Mother Earth. So in that way, it's not just a soul inhibits a body, a body inhibits a soul. It's like it's a togetherness that start up, starting to be a togetherness that's also a oneness. So it's like it's meant for each other and it's built for each other. It's just like a really, really good marriage.
Oh, that's a beautiful way of describing it. Thank you for that. And yeah, and it's far more nuanced, I think, than this guy was talking about when he was saying, you know, that we are a body and a soul, not a soul and a body, and thinking, well, I'm not entirely sure about that. Not entirely sure, but I think I know what he was getting at. And I think he was getting at something around what you were talking about just now. I think, you know, that I think they were oversimplifying what you've just explained for us. Yeah, which is fantastic. And now you do a lot of work. You work remotely with people, don't you? You don't necessarily, or do you see people in a one-to-one situation, face to face?
I have done that for many, many years, but for the last 10 years, the teaching part has taken over, and the speeches, I go out and have public speeches, and in that way, I really love have clients one to one, but I also really deep in my heart love to teach. So now it's more like having groups of students that I teach, and in that way, a lot of healers and a lot of good psychic mediums are getting out in the world, spreading more light and love and healing. And I feel that's the way my development have brought me. So I have started up with one-to-one, and then I started up teaching, and then in a way it started to grow, and now I'm here.
And
So
now you've got the
it's
book. Now you've got, is the book, has the book been published at the moment? Is it out
Yes,
yet?
yes, it is. It's actually here, like a physical one. So it was the Danish version was published 3 years ago, and this one was published all over the world the 1st of January
Oh, it was
this
in
year.
January, right. Yeah.
So it's
I
3 months old. It's not that old. So
No, but I only got a PDF of the, you know, of
yeah.
the proof copy. So I didn't get the actual book through to read, although it's very good reading the PDF. So people should go along to your website and which is very easy, but your name is MARZCIA.com, M for mother, ARZCIA.com. And you get, you know, everything there. You've got, the book, talks, meditations, podcasts. It's all there. People can really explore your work, can't they?
Yeah, they can. And the book is for sale everywhere, so you can buy it in online stores and bookshops, and it's just it's there everywhere.
Yeah, and you are you still doing TV work? Because you were a bit of a star on TV, weren't you? Or are you still?
I started up with the 100 Houses work on TV in Denmark. And after that, I have been making a lot of different kinds of things. Also, a show called Healing the Last Way Out, with a lot of healing with people that were, you know, haven't got any possibility more in the normal healthcare system. So they were put out to healers, and I was on that show as well. And I have been on very different kinds of shows. So right now, maybe there will be some. I'm talking to some
You're in discussions with people about something else.
Yes, I am.
which you can't talk about right now
Oh,
because
yes, that's it. That's
it's all very
right.
secret. Yeah. Okay. Well, we look forward to it. Would that just be in Denmark, or you can't say that?
For me, it's it's Danish, right? It's Danish right
Yeah.
now,
Yeah.
but
Okay.
for now, it's mostly all the interviews and podcasts on English, and I will start to have a plan of making English online courses and to
Fantastic.
Switzerland.
Yeah.
So
Oh,
I will
that's.
see what happens.
Yeah. I just really love when I meet people like you who are doing such great work, and it chimes with what I'm doing as well, and what I've intuitively done all my life. And yeah, seeing dead people, yeah, that's always a bit of a thing. I think I have sort of moved myself away from being open to that
Yeah.
over recent years, although I can still be surprised. It can still surprise me sometimes. I remember being in a deep meditation once and suddenly seeing somebody at my front door
Yeah.
and thinking, oh no, that's not right. That is not right. They wanted to come in, but I told them not to. I didn't want to have to deal with that, so they disappeared. It's extraordinary how it just suddenly pops up, right?
Yeah.
But I completely understand what you're saying about having to make that choice of saying, okay, now I am this. I'm closing the doors to all of that so that I can be quite normal. No, not that it's not normal to see these things. I actually think it's
No.
very normal, but I completely understand that you want to, have some rest from it because it can be overwhelming
I
if you're.
see. Yeah, I see it in a way like when I then work, I'm much sharper because I haven't,
Yeah.
just having a lot of information all the time that tires my
Yeah.
system.
Yeah.
But it's like I'm using my energy and my presence in my everyday life to build up energy and be more clean is not the right word, but yeah,
Yeah,
as a purified channel as I can be when I then I work.
I was going to say it's a question of purity, isn't it? It's a
Yes,
question
it
of your
is.
energy coming through in a pure fashion. Yeah. Yeah, no, completely get that. Well, thank you so much for coming on, talking to me on my lonely radio show on UK Health Radio. And, hopefully whatever you're in talks with will come off and it'll be great for more media exposure and to help people, hopefully.
I really hope, yeah, because the Danish people have been very, very happy for the book and use it all the time when, we have read it
Yeah.
and then you have read it and then you have some problems, then you take it up again and, oh yeah, that's inner child, I can read, oh, then, no, I can do this. So it's like, for them, it has been like a self-help first aid book. They use it all the time. So I really hope it will go out in the world and do the healing work that it's has purpose to do.
Well, I think it's a really good book, and I wouldn't say that if I didn't mean it. I think it's a really great introduction and explanation in terms of, what are the things that affect us and what are the things that block us from healing. And
Yeah.
how we can self-heal. So I think it's fantastic. So thank you so much for talking about it today and telling us your story. And yeah, good luck with everything in the future.
Thank you very much, and thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I think I said it all there. Do go to Marcia's website and check out more about her work. Her website again is marcia.com, very simple and spelt Marz or Zcia. There's an English version as well as a Danish site, and I love that she calls it a sanctuary of spiritual growth and transformation. I do want to say that if you are a sensitive and you find yourself seeing, hearing, or feeling things that others don't, you might feel overwhelmed. We touched on that a little during our conversation just now. And if that is the case and you want support, please reach out. Just talking to someone can help enormously. Now, you can contact me through my website, thepracticalalchemist.uk, and that's where you'll find everything to do with me, including links to all my socials and YouTube channel. You'll also find a link to tiktokophobia.com. That's a newish website that the world's foremost tokophobia expert, Alexia Leachman, and I have created to better inform the world about this major anxiety disorder. The dictionary definition of tocophobia is a deep fear of pregnancy and childbirth, but it is so much more than that. Alexia and I have both had it, and we each had a very different experience of it in many ways. We talk about that on our podcast, Tiktokophobia. That's TikTokophobia. We also talk to other experts and people who have experience of tocophobia. If you listen to the podcast, you will learn the signs of tocophobia and you'll be able to assess better whether you or someone else that you know might have it, and you'll learn how to deal with that. And if you know of anyone who might benefit from listening, please share the podcast with them. You'll find it wherever you listen to podcasts and on YouTube too. And that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening. Join me next time for more great guests, more information, and more practical alchemy. Until then, it's goodbye from me and that nightingale.